This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Stimulus approved. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, March 26th. Glad you're on board. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate has okayed a measure that will send checks to American families to help them cope with coronavirus restrictions. The Dow rose for a second straight day on the news.
The U.S. now has more than 1,000 deaths from COVID-19, but we'll have an in-depth look at how social distancing appears to be working.
A Missouri man identified as a domestic terror suspect has been killed in a shootout with FBI agents. They believe he was targeting a hospital with an explosive.
And how to avoid raiding the fridge all day as you adjust to working from home, like forcing yourself to put down a tablecloth.
Making a change of scenery for your meals, like for your eating, because the point is to define, like, there's a time to eat and there's a time to not eat.
Hillary Potkowitz at the Wall Street Journal on avoiding bad eating habits while you figure out the most effective way to work from home. The Senate has unanimously approved an estimated $2 trillion bill to ease the economic pain of the coronavirus restrictions. It's expected that the House will vote on it today. The legislation would provide one-time checks of $1,200 to Americans earning up to $75,000 a year as individuals and up to $150,000 for married couples. The payments phase out with the more you earn. Individuals and couples are eligible for an additional $500 per child. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
This will cover roughly 50% of the private payroll in small businesses, where we will immediately make loans that will supply 8 weeks of salaries as long as they keep workers employed and overhead.
Officials hope to get the money in our hands within 3 weeks. The bill also expands unemployment insurance to cover freelance and gig workers. Also, the checks will be available to those who have no income, as well as people who rely on income benefit programs from, say, Social Security. The death toll in the United States has now topped 1,000 as the novel coronavirus continues to spread across the country. America's first death was reported on February 29th, 4 weeks ago, and the rate has spiked over the past 2 weeks as extreme public health measures go into effect to combat the virus. The U.S. death count ran past 600 on Tuesday and 900 early yesterday before reaching 1,050 early today. The numbers are tracked by the Johns Hopkins University data dashboard. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says cases have surged past 4,400, with 62 deaths in his state.
These numbers are sobering, but they are not surprising to us. We knew early on the trajectory that these reports would take.
The number of cases nationally continues to rise rapidly as testing expands. The worldwide death count is now more than 21,000. Five other countries, by the way, have death tolls higher than the U.S. Italy, Spain, Iran, China, and France. Italy's number more than doubles that of Spain. U.S. stocks have scored their first back-to-back gains since February on the back of the congressional stimulus deal. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 2.4%, while the S&P 500 added 1.2%. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Lingering nervousness about the economy has kept many traders on edge. The stock market swung wildly again yesterday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average soaring more than 1,000 points, then giving up much of that in the home stretch of trading. Shares of airlines and aerospace companies took off on bets that the industry would be one of the major beneficiaries of the Washington stimulus. Boeing rose 24%. United Airlines and American Airlines were both higher by 11%. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Vikas Pershad, portfolio manager at M&G Investments, told the Wall Street Journal that the markets are not broken. He says what we're seeing is a very large disconnect between the present world and the future that they're pricing in. Special edition coverage of the coronavirus continues. Early evidence suggests closing bars, restaurants, and other businesses to keep people apart in places, including New York City, has slowed the incidence of fevers that are an early indicator of coronavirus. That's according to a new analysis of fevers and symptoms across the U.S. by the health technology company Kinsa, which did the analysis using its digital thermometers. Jane O'Donnell, health policy reporter at USA Today, has seen some of the data. Jane, what are we learning?
What this digital thermometer, well, it's a health technology company, but it's a company that has a million digital thermometers out there. Any of us could buy them for about $30 at a drugstore. They've gotten them into the communities. People are taking their temperatures and putting other symptoms that they might have into this. And so this company is able to track fevers, what's happening with fevers and other symptoms around the country. Why that is important is because, as most of us know by now, that one of the most predictable early signs of coronavirus is you have a fever. And we know that the underlying symptoms can take up to 2 weeks or even more to actually show themselves in enough that insofar as you'd actually think you need to stay home or might even be able to get tested as testing becomes more available. So these folks are ahead of the curve, they like to say. I think it's important to note this hasn't been published in a medical journal yet, but It is, it just occurred to me, I didn't mention in the story that companies like Clorox, Lysol use this data. They're, I guess, would call, be called clients of this company because they've been using it for years to predict where they're going to need to have more supply, what parts of the country that are having higher incidences of flu.
Hmm. And it seems to be, I guess, no mystery to the company, Kinsa, right? They say shutting down schools and businesses is working.
So they cross-referenced and looked at, say, Santa Clara, California is one example. They actually took pretty extreme steps and did basically a shelter in place. That had almost immediate results when it came to what they call flu-like illness, influenza-like illness. So it went dramatically down. You know, it makes perfect sense. I'm hardly a scientist, but as we all know, the reason you're supposed to stay home when you have a fever or the flu, even a bad cold, it's a good idea to stay home. And the point of that is to keep from transmitting those illnesses. So these are not all coronavirus fevers, but the coronavirus is among these flu-like illnesses that are popping up around the country.
Well, we're speaking with Jane O'Donnell, health policy reporter at USA Today. She's got a piece about how data is showing or are showing that social distancing appears to be working. The curious part of your story, too, is that the government, doesn't seem interested in Kinsa's data.
Well, yeah, and my more cynical reporter side, would say, I don't get nearly as many requests and emails from inventors, I'm sure, as the CDC. But and I'm sure your life is similar, Gordon. There's probably an awful lot of people that think whatever it is they're doing is important enough to be on your show.
Right.
So I mean, I can understand that CDC might not want to partner with just anybody and maybe needs more proof. But this is pretty solid data. It is actual readings of fevers, and we're really running the probably the single biggest problem with this is that we got a late start because the testing wasn't ready. We implemented social distancing late. So had we known, we collectively, the United States, the government, and people, had we known that fevers were going way up in certain areas, I know I sure would have taken, I took all of this quite seriously. I mean, although I have people in my Northern Virginia town that think that you shouldn't even walk outside, I'm more worried about all these people turning into, developing the very heart conditions that make you more susceptible by not moving and eating so much crap. But, I take this serious, but I would have taken it even more seriously.
Yeah.
And if I knew that fevers were way up in my community, like that's when you really go, I am not going anywhere near that lady across the street.
Yeah.
Hell with 6 feet. I'm staying in the house.
Thanks, Jane. Jane O'Donnell, health policy reporter at USA Today. By the way, social distancing efforts to stop the spread of coronavirus in New York, the epicenter of the American outbreak, are showing signs of working as well. Governor Andrew Cuomo said yesterday that data from Sunday showed hospitalizations were doubling every 2 days, but by Tuesday they were doubling every 4.7 days. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate has passed a $2.2 trillion economic rescue package, steering aid to businesses, workers, and healthcare systems engulfed by the coronavirus pandemic. The unanimous vote came despite misgivings on both sides about whether it goes too far or not far enough and capped days of difficult negotiations as Washington confronts a national challenge unlike it has ever faced. The 880-page measure is the largest economic relief bill in U.S. history. In Washington, President Trump has called for Americans to dedicate themselves for 15 days to physical distancing, including staying home from work and closing bars and restaurants to help try to stall the spread of the disease. But he's also grumbling that our country wasn't built to be shut down. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden.
It would be a catastrophic thing to do for our people and for our economy if we sent people back to work just as we were beginning to see the impact of social distancing take hold, only to unleash a second spike in infections.
Number three.
The Pentagon has halted for 60 days the movement of U.S. troops and Defense Department civilians overseas, a measure expected to affect about 90,000 troops scheduled to deploy or return from abroad. The man who committed the worst atrocity in New Zealand's modern history when he killed 51 worshippers at two Christchurch mosques unexpectedly pleaded guilty today to all charges. The attacks targeting people praying at the mosques a year ago shocked the nation and prompted new laws banning the deadliest types of semi-automatic weapons. It also prompted global changes to social media protocols after the gunman live-streamed his attack on Facebook. The National Recording Registry is out with its annual list of 25 recordings that will be preserved for posterity. The entries, culled from a list of over 800 possibilities, include the original cast recording of the 1964 musical Fiddler on the Roof, the 1978 disco classic YMCA, Tina Turner's 1984 pop hit Private Dancer, and a 1951 broadcast of a nail-biter of a baseball game between the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants with Jackie Robinson at bat, also included the theme song of the beloved PBS children's show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Just want to know if there's something missing on that list, because YMCA mm-hmm. is going to be included.
Right.
But not Macho Man?
Perhaps in a
from
future
the
year.
People?
Don't worry. It's coming.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, how to avoid bad eating habits while working at home.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Glad you're with us. For many newly remote employees, working steps away from a fully stocked kitchen looks a lot like an all-day buffet. And social distancing could keep many of us indoors for weeks. Now's the time to establish healthy habits and avoid unhealthy ones. Hillary Potkiewicz spoke with nutritionists and chefs for suggestions on how to do this. Hillary, it can be a tough adjustment.
It's true. I mean, you know, now we're at a time where a lot of people are working from home for the first time, or just having to get used to it every single day. And the other thing is that for a lot of us, our kitchens have never been so well stocked with things from all of the frenzied buying. And it can be really difficult. You're never more than a few steps away from cupboards and pantry and fridge, and especially during this time when things are so disrupted and it's kind of stressful, going to the kitchen is like that. It's an easy, totally understandable, normal impulse. You know, it's like, what do you want to do? I'll just walk to the kitchen. And then, you know, you're faced with all of the stuff you've been stockpiling.
What do the nutritionists say about self-control and better habits?
Right. Well, one of the important things that all of the nutritionists and dietitians and chefs that I talked to said is it's really important to make a schedule. And I know everyone says that and you're like, oh, I know how to make a schedule. But I think it's the idea that when everything else in your life is kind of disrupted, if you set a time for your meals, you know, if you're someone who eats three meals a day, like breakfast at, say, 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. or whatever time works for you, if you set a time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or breakfast, lunch, snack, and dinner, then that just helps you structure the rest of your day around that instead of having this like all-day free-for-all.
We're speaking with Hillary Potkowitz, contributor at The Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece about how to avoid eating all day if you're newly working from home. Somebody you spoke to made a clever point about forcing yourself to put a tablecloth down if you're really committed to eating.
Well, one of the nutritionist dietitians that I spoke to talked about making a change of scenery for your meals, like for your eating, because the point is to define, like, there's a time to eat and there's a time to not eat. And so when you're, you know, you just sort of bring things over to your desk or the sofa or wherever you're working, and there's just like the munching thing, then everything gets blurry. There's like a blurring of the lines between work time and personal time. And so if you make the change of scenery, some clients that one of the dietitians worked with, they decided, it was a couple, and they decided that they were only going to eat if they put the tablecloth down. So that meant no standing up and snacking, no like sitting on the couch, like, all right, we're going to put the tablecloth down and sit and have a meal.
Thanks, Hillary. Hillary Potkowitz, contributor to The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When inspiration strikes, you should too. But how? What's the first step to bring your idea to life? Because finding the right freelancer for your business idea or project can be daunting. How can you find a quality freelancer you can afford? And how can you be sure they'll deliver? There's one easy answer to all of these questions: Fiverr. With Fiverr, you get more done with less. Fiverr connects you with freelancers who offer hundreds of services, from graphic design and copywriting to web programming, film editing, voiceover, and more. You can search by service, by deadline, by price, or reviews, and you can be confident to find quality talent you can count on at a price that's right for you. No negotiating necessary. Take five and check out Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. Do it now and save 10% on your first order when you use my code Gordon. Fiverr, the fast, affordable way to bring your inspiration to life. Go to Fiverr.com and use the code Gordon to save 10%. That's Fiverr.com. Glad you're with us. It is Thursday, March 26. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The Senate passes a stimulus package that includes checks for Americans. A woman in Northeast Pennsylvania accused of deliberately coughing on produce and bakery items at a grocery store, causing $35,000 in lost goods. NBA star Steph Curry hosting a panel on Instagram Live today with Dr. Anthony Fauci at 1 p.m. Eastern. And how a family turned their garage into club quarantine to celebrate their son's 21st birthday. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. The last-minute move by Ohio officials to shut down the state's primary election in order to stop the spread of COVID-19 caused temporary confusion, you might recall. But Naomi Lim, campaigns reporter at the Washington Examiner, says it also prompted calls for the widespread adoption of mail-in voting measures for the rest of the primary calendar and the general election. Naomi, explain.
With all different aspects of life, coronavirus is having an impact on elections. We've seen already seven states, and I think that Puerto Rico, delaying their primary contests. And so I think there's speculation as to how to minimize the effect on the outbreak in coming elections, as well as potentially putting things in place in case we're still dealing with these, you know, stay-at-home orders and shelter-in-place orders come November's general election.
What kind of logistics would be involved if we switched to, say, purely mail-in ballots?
It's so convoluted. It's something that I've learned researching this piece, because obviously elections, both primary and for the federal election, are run by, you know, all the states. And so you're seeing this patchwork, not only of existing regulation, but a patchwork of how they're going to try and make changes in the future. So at the moment, there are about, 20 states that allow that don't really allow no-excuse absentee voting, which is basically a fancy word to saying voting by mail. Okay. There are 30 that currently do. And so, like, the logistical problems, are included, the expense of printing out ballots, mailing them to different voters, making sure that the voter registration roll is up to date, and then, of course, sort of procuring all the equipment that you need to count the ballots, and then rules to put in place about when, the cutoffs and deadlines are. So it's a problem that is foreseeable, and it's also a problem that I think the states and different election county officials are going to have to start grappling with sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I guess, too, you got the potential for outdated mailing lists, right, which could expose some results to fraud.
Well, that's always the concern. There is very limited incidence of fraud in the U.S. election system as a whole. I think that there is a concern that voting by mail is probably one of the ones that are most susceptible to it. But there are different ways that you can counteract that. And I guess this is why planning earlier rather than later is beneficial. I know that some states that currently allow voting by mail require people to send in IDs and stuff like that so that you can match signatures with the ballot as what's on the roll. But it is something that I think if you have time to think about how you're going to roll it out and the logistics of it all, it's not something that's not insurmountable is what lots of the experts say.
Mm. We're speaking with Naomi Lim, campaigns reporter at the Washington Examiner. Her piece is called Mail-in Ballots Gain Support in Coronavirus Crisis, But Questions Linger. How have the political campaigns of, say, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders handled this? I mean, they've almost been forced into complete silence given the amount of news that the pandemic is making right now.
You're exactly right. I think we're seeing a lot of people asking, where are Joe Biden? Like, where is Joe Biden? Where is Bernie Sanders? We're seeing that they are trying to, again, like all of us, adapt to this new way of life. They're hosting virtual rallies. You saw Bernie Sanders last night in Vermont hosting a virtual rally with key members of Congress. And as well as Biden today is going to host his first at-home counter briefing. So they're obviously trying to hold the administration's feet to the fire when it comes to their response to this crisis. You'll also see the Trump campaign hitting back at them for example, undermining the president's message of optimism and hope and things like that. But it's sort of, I feel, this election, which once was about, the lurch to the left of the Democratic Party, it's now becoming how, this administration, as well as their hypothetical administrations, would tackle this, historic era that we're in at the moment.
Thanks, Naomi. Naomi Lim, campaigns reporter at the Washington Examiner. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, finish this phrase, hashtag I knew I had cabin fever when. With home security, there are two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Or there's the other way, SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection, two-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice Award. With SimpliSafe, outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. For the inside, there are entry, motion, and glass break sensors. Plus, you'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7. I set mine up in less than 30 minutes, and it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. It's why The Verge calls SimpliSafe the best home security system. Go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure to go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal. That's simplisafe.com/GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know misery loves company, especially when the misery is caused by COVID-19 self-isolation. With millions staying at home to avoid spreading the virus, there are a lot of people feeling a little bit stuck, and Jimmy Fallon feels your pain. According to the Huffington Post, the Tonight Show host posted a tweet yesterday that included the hashtag, I knew I had cabin fever when, inviting Twitter users to submit their own moments. Some examples that stuck out included a woman named Susie who wrote, I knew I had cabin fever when I started naming all the cushions on my sofa with different days of the week, so I don't wear just one out. A man named Christopher replied, I knew I had cabin fever when I watched the entire season of The West Wing on Netflix, but watched it through my neighbor's living room window. We all enjoyed it.
Wow.
And a woman named Tori wrote, I knew I had cabin fever when I started a bar crawl by putting beers in every room of the house.
Mm, that's clever.
Yes.
I saw a video of a family that did that to celebrate a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to go out, or they couldn't go out, obviously, so they set up like a theme in each room. So
yes.
It might have been, you know, wine and cheese in one room, and then beer in another, snack in another room, and
right.
Then, you know, it was their own kind of bar crawl in-home, which is very clever.
Yes.
Our cleverness is definitely coming out during all this.
We're hearing a lot about virtual happy hours right now, too,
yeah.
Where people all get on the video
yes.
conference, and they all do happy hour together.
Also a good one.
It's going to be a big one this weekend,
also
I think.
Also on my to-do list.
Yes.
I would like to do that. Are you busy at 5 o'clock Friday, by the way?
Nobody's busy at all, ever, at 5 o'clock on Friday
that's
anymore.
That's the funniest question right now.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Even you ask me sometimes,
yeah.
Can we schedule something here? And I jokingly say, let me look at my schedule.
Yes, you can drive
of course, I'm wide open.
Drive a truck through that hole in the schedule.
Yeah.
And we told you yesterday, Gordon, about how technology is helping people connect with each other romantically during these distant times. But besides love, there's something equally or more important people are missing while in quarantine, and that's beer. That's why, according to Fox News, two Milwaukee neighbors hatched an idea to shuttle beer to each other across the street so they could drink together while still practicing social distancing. In the now viral video, the recipient named Trevor Renke watches while a remote-controlled car rides down the block and across the street delivering a bottle of Corona beer from his neighbor Eric. A little ingenuity was required to safely transport the bottle without breaking it. Eric strapped a spare exhaust tip from his garage to the car to act as a makeshift beer transport. The clip has been viewed over 6 million times since being posted, and we assume spawned more than a few copycats.
That's very clever.
Yes.
And, you know, that wasn't just along the lines of down the driveway, across the street, up the other driveway.
Right.
This is like
a little bit of a distance.
150 yards or so,
yeah.
Right, as it traveled down a longer driveway than across what appeared to be a somewhat busy street.
Right,
like
right.
A county highway.
Yeah,
I mean,
we know traffic not what it used to be right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Traffic's a little light these days, but you still have to dodge cars, you know, at least watch out for cars before
right.
you send your car with the beer across the street.
Very clever. Made for a good video.
Mm-hmm.
More ingenuity during all this pandemic craze stuff. Thanks for joining us. You know, there are more ways than ever now to connect to America's First News. You can download the This Morning with Gordon Deal app from the Apple or Google app stores. You can also tell Alexa, Google, or Siri to play This Morning with Gordon Deal. Well, the federal government is poised to send checks to millions of adults as part of a massive $2 trillion stimulus bill aiming to support an economy that's reeling from the coronavirus outbreak. For those who still have jobs, how should they use the money, especially at a time when up to 37 million jobs could be in jeopardy? MarketWatch spoke with experts about how they're advising clients. Number one, they say, start emergency fund accounts. Some online savings accounts can offer annual percentage yields of up to 1.7%. A rainy day account should cover 3 to 6 months of expenses, as you've heard, like rent, mortgage, and utilities. Number two, you can pay debt, especially credit card debt. Americans owed $930 billion in credit card debt as of the fourth quarter of last year. Number three, you can invest the money. Good opportunities could be waiting, with equities down about 32% from all-time highs. But invest small amounts on a weekly, biweekly, or maybe monthly basis, since there could still be more drops in the market. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate has approved an emergency aid package that will offer $2 trillion to help individuals, hospitals, and businesses weather the effects of the coronavirus. The vote was 96 to nothing. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin.
These will be, within the next 3 weeks, direct payments into most people's deposit accounts. And for those that don't have it, we will be having the checks in the mail.
The House is slated to vote on the measure tomorrow. New York authorities are mobilizing to head off a public health disaster, with the city's emergence as the nation's biggest coronavirus hotspot a warning flare and perhaps a cautionary tale for the rest of the country. A makeshift morgue has been set up outside Bellevue Hospital.
Number three.
New Orleans is on track to become the next epicenter in the U.S., dimming hopes that less densely populated and warmer climate cities would escape the worst of the pandemic. Authorities warn the number of cases in New Orleans could overwhelm its hospitals by April 4th. A meeting of foreign ministers from the Group of Seven Nations ended yesterday without a customary joint statement because members wouldn't agree with a U.S. request to refer to the coronavirus as the Wuhan virus. Top agenda items for the meeting included preventing further crises in the world's most vulnerable countries and keeping global travel routes open to ensure citizens can return home. A man suspected of plotting to blow up a Missouri hospital was killed in a shootout with FBI agents. He was apparently frustrated with local government actions to stop the spread of coronavirus. Authorities say 36-year-old Timothy Wilson died in Belton, Missouri, after members of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force attempted to arrest him. The FBI says Wilson was the subject of a months-long domestic terrorism investigation. They say Wilson was a potentially violent extremist known to express racial and religious hatred and anti-government sentiment. Well, with today's opening day postponed until at least mid-May, this might be the year baseball needs to try out some creative ideas. Here's one of them. Seven-inning doubleheaders, long a staple of minor league and college baseball. With the prospect of a shortened season, Toronto Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins and Yankees manager Aaron Boone say seven-inning doubleheaders could add more games in a condensed season without exhausting pitching staffs.
Ooh.
You're up for that?
Well, as much as I follow baseball, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Get your money's worth, perhaps.
We'll see.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next, a family's brilliant plan to celebrate a 21st birthday in their garage.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Well, when you can't go to the club will come to you. That is, if you're turning 21 and your parents feel an obligation. A video showing a family creating a club quarantine in their garage has gone viral on social media. In the 50-second clip, the parents reportedly felt bad that their son couldn't go to a bar or club, so mom transformed the garage into a 21 and up establishment, even posting a sign on the garage door that reads, "Must be 21 or older to enter." Then you see dad acting as a bouncer, wearing dark sunglasses. Dad is heard asking for ID, which he then dutifully checks using his flashlight. The son then travels inside, where mom-turned-bartender cheerfully greets him and offers a free shot as part of the club's birthday policy.
Welcome to Club Quarantine. We'll bring you here tonight.
It's my 21st birthday.
Your 21st birthday. It's our policy that we give you a free green tea shot. And we let the bouncer, the waitress, and I'll do one with you.
More than a million views. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.